Willie Terry, your Roman labor correspondent, and I have with me Leon Van Dyke, former member of the Brothers, right?
Right.
Right. And tomorrow is Malcolm X's birthday, Leon. Just give me some of your thoughts on Malcolm.
It's true. Malcolm was our Black Prince. He was articulate, one who actually took no prisoners, was fearless in his defense of Black people. And as a young man, I certainly, as many young Black men during that time, revered Malcolm. And he was one of our inspirations in terms of the civil rights movement, in terms of the Black Power movement. He was exceptional man.
Mm-hmm. Now, Leon, you were one of the organizers of the Brothers.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Tell me something about the Brothers and how your involvement. And did Malcolm influence you y'all in any way?
Malcolm influenced. If you were a young Black man in the North, Malcolm was our leader. He inspired us in so many ways. And, I mean, even now to the day, the things that Malcolm said about race, about discrimination, about standing up and being proud. Malcolm was the epitome of I'm Black and I'm proud. The Brothers in Albany, they rose around about 1965. Inspired, and it's on the record, inspired by both Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And we see no contradiction in having these two exceptional men as our inspiration. The Brothers, it was organized by Black inner city men who got tired of accepting the discrimination and segregation that our people were facing. So we started in terms of protesting against the discrimination of Blacks in the construction industry in the mid-60s when they were building the Empire State Plaza and other edifices.
Did you ever see Malcolm?
I saw him speak because when Minister Mohammed sent Malcolm to clean up Temple 12, that was like two blocks from where I lived. So I seen Malcolm, and many of my peers at that time joined the Muslims. For me, I not at that time. I was wilding, as the kids say today. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't ready, but I knew of Malcolm, and he was respected as a fiery minister that talked about white people that we had not heard before during that time.
There's a film out about Malcolm and the assassination. I don't know if you heard about that, the film.
I've seen a number of those
Netflix
documentaries. Uh-huh. In fact, as your audience might not know, in 1970, I worked for the Department of Corrections. As a director of their Title I program. And one of the persons, and his name eludes me right now, but one of the persons that were charged with the murder of Malcolm was at Comstock, New York. And I got to talk to him, and he swore up and down to me, which called that he had not did it. I myself personally believe that the CIA or the FBI had something to do with it.
Yeah, that's always the struggle when, you know, these documentaries come out about his assassination. The struggle between, did the nation do it, Islam, or was it the government?
And Malcolm said, when he was going over C's talking and in London and all these places, and that he was being followed around, and he said, Malcolm said that he didn't believe it was the nation of the Muslims of Islam that had him follow him, because they didn't have that capability to follow and to tap his phones. And he really felt as if that it was the FBI or the CIA that was following him around. And we know that when we look at other leaders who oppose our policy, that it is not above the CIA or the FBI to assassinate these people if they see them as a threat. So certainly the FBI and the CIA had the capabilities of doing all these things and even getting people involved with it that didn't even know that they were being manipulated. I think that the FBI and the CIA had something to do with it. Now, an aside thing, which you may or may not know, the brothers' telephone was tapped for 3 years in Albany. That's on the record. It was articles written about that. And then in the Counterintelpro program that was to keep track of activism back in those days, the brothers was one of the groups that the FBI kept in contact with. So to say that that the FBI wasn't involved, it belies all of the things that we know that these agencies have done in the past. I mean, it goes back to Marcus Garvey, goes back to W.E.B. Du Bois, who the FBI called Marcus Garvey the most dangerous black man in America, who, and by the way, J. Edgar Hoover called Martin Luther King the most dangerous black man in America.
You know, I always wonder now, like, you know, we're in this COVID-19 situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying that, you know, if Malcolm was around today, where would we be at now?
Well, I think, Malcolm, we look at his words in terms of when we look at this COVID-19 virus pandemic that we have, that is disproportionately has an impact on African Americans and other people of color, such as Native Americans, Latinos, Asians, has a disproportionate and is directly due to the inadequate health services and care that they have taken, that they are exposed to. Then Malcolm would say it is our system, is the inadequate health system that does not serve African Americans well. That's the cause of blacks being disproportionately affected by this thing. And, you know, we have an unfair health system that needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think Malcolm would have addressed himself to that, because he was a deep thinker, you know. So the things that I hear some of the people, some of our activists today speaking, they'd be right on point, and Malcolm would be right there with them.
And I always say that, you know, Malcolm talks a lot about, like you said, about the government, is that he probably would be in self-quarantine based on this virus, but I think he'll be telling us, don't trust the government. Don't believe what they said, how this thing started.
Yeah, you had to be simple-minded to believe, to take on face value what our government is telling us. Mm-hmm. And besides that, simple-minded in terms of believing on face value what our government, when we have lied, they have lied to us so many times. And this is not just black people being simple-minded. Whether you any color, to just take on face value that, oh, our government says this, so it must be true. It belies the historical record.